Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our services here at Airport Loop. We do have some visitors. Glad that you've come to be with us today. Of course, I'm not the regular preacher. Wayne is, and he is out. He and Linda's gone to Houston to do some birthday celebrations, I believe, for the month. All three of them, Jennifer, Wayne, and Linda, has birthdays in the month of August. You know, it's been a long 5 months that we've been involved in this pandemic. And it's 5 months ago in March when Wayne was gone to a meeting. And everything was fine when he went to the meeting, but during the meetings when it hit. And when he came home, it's just, well, you know what we've been involved in. And it's been trying at times. And honestly, I was so thankful that Jason was coming on board at that time as one of our elders too. There's not a week goes by that we don't meet and talk about how we can improve our services. Many of you have spoken to us. You have suggested ideas, and we welcome that. We're not trying to rush back to where we would want to be, but we're just trying to be very prudent in the decisions that we make, what would be right and proper. So we're thankful for your support and your encouragement that you've given us, and hopefully that just in a few months all this will be over with, and we can be back into our normal services and the way that we have always been, worshiping together collectively in one room. And perhaps maybe in time that we can get there. Everyone lives or walks the road of life. But how do you walk? How do you walk? Now, have you noticed that some people have a certain style in walking? I mean, I've noticed that ever since I was a kid. Watching the John Wayne movies, he had a certain walk. I've noticed football players, they have a certain walk. Athletes, they have a certain walk. And that's in the physical gait, I suppose, as they choose their steps. But let's apply that to the way in which we live. How do we walk? And when I talk about walking, how do we live? The course that we pursue. What is it that controls our thinking? And actually, I want to talk about Enoch this morning. Wayne, he had touched on this Wednesday night in his Bible study. I had already started working on a lesson about Enoch this week. And so I'm going to go ahead and continue with that. We'll just compliment one another a little bit. But and we know what the scripture says about Enoch, that he was one who walked with God. You know, when there are those who have lived before us, those who we have known, those who have died and gone on, oftentimes we can have remembrance of them, and there's phrases that we will use to describe them. Have you ever thought what would be used by describing you after you're gone? What those who have known you, what they would say about you, that you were difficult, you were industrious, or you were prosperous. I mean, they could use several words to describe you, perhaps. Have you considered how it was used in describing Enoch? It said of Enoch that he was one who walked with God. Of all the things that could be said about us when we're gone, I believe that's perhaps one of the greatest compliments that I could think of, that they were a Christian, or they were faithful to God in all that they did, and all that they would do in their thinking. Let me begin by using a verse of Scripture. Back in the book of Psalms, chapter 1 and verse 1, it said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." What a compliment. You know, I guess there's, in life we can take two roads, and that's what Jesus described in the Sermon on the Mount. We can take the road that leads to destruction, or we can take the road that leads to life. And the choice is going to be up to us, which way that we travel. But here in this verse, he says, blessed is the man, or happy is the man, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And again, we describe the word as walking as perhaps a manner of life that you have chosen. Do you understand the rules that you work by or you live by in your life? Things that you will do, things you won't do. That, in a way, can be described your walk. You know, there are two ways to walk in life, either with God or with a sinful world. Walking with God leads to life and blessings. Walking with the sinful or sin leads to trouble. It leads to judgment. It leads to condemnation. Now, we can choose to walk, yes, with God in this life, or we can choose to walk with the world. You know, it's our choice. Have you thought about what choice you're making? Have you thought about what's going to be said about you in the choice that you made after you're gone? I've often said this about some people. I'll say this. There's some people that I have looked at and said, well, I've known them. They were a good man or they were a good woman. They were a faithful man, a faithful woman. I often thought, well, what's going to be said about me? You know, you can't write your own epitaph. Others will write it for you. That's the one that's long and lasting. But what a compliment it was of this man, because it said that he walked with God. But more than that, we can see God took him. And I believe that even speaks greater. Let's look at the passage of verse of Genesis chapter 5, where it says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Now, there's some math that has to be done here. So if you want to do some math in your head, that's fine. Let's look at some of these verses. He was 65, and it says, and he begot Methuselah. You know, that's only 1 year younger than me, 65. Was that his firstborn? Well, I don't know whether it was or not, but it would almost seem that way, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe he had other children. But that was significant, though. It marked time in his life. Sometimes we mark time in our life. We sort of index it or mark it, time stamp it. It's like something before that happened or after it happened. It was before I was married or after I was married. It was before our second child was born or after. Or sometimes we may lose family members or lose our spouse. We say, it was before that or after that. We mark time in our life by events. Here he's marking time that Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he got Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. And so all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Now, what can we possibly get from this passage of Scripture? Well, I believe this really reveals to us. If you look closely at what verse 21 and 22 says, you find that Enoch was just like us. Because it says, Enoch lived 65 years, begot Methuselah, and he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God, or after he begot Methuselah. It almost infer there was a period of time that he did not walk with God. Now, whether it does or not, the language infers that. And perhaps maybe we in our lives, we had to say, you know, there were times when I wasn't faithful as I should have been. I needed to be. But now's a different time. And sometimes that may be true. We may know people, may know their past, but because of some change that came to their life, the realization of something, the awareness of something, an event or something, and it changed their course that they were going on. And I found this to be true sometimes too. Even the having of a children will change your life. We know it changes you profoundly, yes. But will it turn you into a different direction, as he's talking about here? After Methuselah was born, he walked with God after he begot Methuselah. I don't know exactly what it was like, I suppose, before what he was like before Methuselah came along. But there was a life-changing event that now caused him to walk with God. And what made Enoch turn toward God and away from the world? What could have impacted him in order to change the way that he walked? Something happened to change the manner and the habit of Enoch's life. Have you had something to change your life? Have you had something to impact your life that caused you to change your course? Sometimes we need things like that to happen, to wake us up, for us to see, for us to be aware. Enoch walked with God, but how did he do that? And what did he do in order to walk with God? Well, normally we think that Enoch had such a close relationship with God because he walked with him or had fellowship with him because he talked to him. Normally when you talk to somebody, you have a close relationship with them, right? It's very difficult. Think how difficult it is. I really don't know that person. Why? Because I really haven't talked with them. But if you spend time with somebody and you talk with them and you exchange, converse with them and they talk with you, you can walk away. Yeah, I know a lot about that person. You know how they feel about things. You know where they stand in different situations or events. How about your conversations that you have with God? I would tend to think that Enoch was one who had many conversations with God. He talked with him a lot. You know, we do a lot of talking to people, but how much do we really talk with God? In order to walk with God as he did, we must spend time with him communicating. And he is awfully good at listening. He will listen to us as we talk with him. That's far better than we are. I mean, if we can learn a lot from listening to God. Now, I know I may be dealing with a sensitive issue here and perhaps make people uncomfortable, but as I look at these two verses, verse 21 and 22, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, he walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. We're doing the math. It just seems like, And God took him at 365 years of age. That was the event that marked it for him. We had 65 years. We had 300 years. He walked with God. And then God took him when he's 365. So in those total of 300 years, he walked with God. Totally. He didn't waver. I suggest to you he had a prayer life with God. How's your prayer life? If we had somebody who would pray, let's say, if you prayed 20, 30 times a day, is that unusual? It may be for some people. Do some people pray that often? Yes, some people pray that often. What if you prayed 10 to 20 times a day when you spoke to God? Do some evaluating. Well, look, we have three meals a day. What if I just pray three times a day at mealtime? Do you pray when you get up in the morning? Do you pray when you go to bed at night? Do you think that your relationship with God would be closer if you were to talk with him more? And that you would let him talk to you by being exposed to his word? I would think so. Do we stop middle of the day and have a prayer? And excuse the personal reference, but you can pray anytime. You can pray in the shower. I've done that. Pray when you're driving. I've done that. Do you get up in the morning and you get out of bed and you stretch your arms and you say, "Good morning, Lord. Thank you for the nice rest." We should be in such a relationship with the Lord that it's not uncommon for us to have that conversation with him. That we're so sensitive, tuned in to him, that he is always there. Years ago, I heard a lesson. It really, and it's probably been 40 years, but it made an impression on me. It still sticks with me. Is that in the beginning of the lesson, it was being God conscious. And the idea is, are you aware that God is always with you? Are you aware that God is everywhere, wherever you go? You're never alone. That God is reachable. He's there. He's always watching. He always knows. He knows when you get up in the morning, he's there. And wherever your steps may lead in the day, he's there. And then when you go back to bed at night and lay down and you close your eyes and you go to sleep, he's still there. We're never alone. And being God conscious, it helps me to realize that God's always hearing everything that I say, not only to him, but also to everybody else. He knows my true motives. He knows what I think. And there's not a moment of the day that God's not aware of what I am doing. That's the power of God. He's not omnipresent. He's everywhere. And he has that power, that capability. Enoch was the father of Methuselah. And what he is known, that's what he's known for in the Bible, that he was the oldest person to have lived, 969 years. Now look at his grandson. Methuselah's grandson was Noah. And Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah, a just man, perfect in his generations, Noah walked with God." Now does that phrase, "walk with God," look familiar? Have we not seen that before? Haven't we seen that over in the previous chapter having to do with his great-great-grandfather, Enoch? And I guess what I want to emphasize, I believe that if you are an upright man, if you are trying to live your best of the righteous life, others are going to see it and others are going to be influenced by it. And I don't think it's just by a coincidence or chance. We're going through the genealogy here, the 10 generations through Noah and from God, from Adam to Noah, that we just simply stumble across Enoch, and Methuselah, Lamech, and then down to Noah. It's just not a coincidence. It was planned. And I believe perhaps because of the influence of Enoch and his ability to walk, and perhaps preparing that of Methuselah, in essence, he was preparing his children and his children's children for what would happen in the flood. You know what is said of Noah? He was a righteous man. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What made him so righteous? Do you understand the world that he was living on at that time? How terrible the world was. It was continually an evil. Continually. But yet here you had a generation of people. They didn't follow the ways of the world. And it started a few generations earlier. And that with Enoch. Could it be that Enoch had influence on his whole family or at some of his family to walk with God? I think that's probably probable. What we our parents do, we affect our children, whether for better or for worse. We have an effect upon our children. And just as we have an effect upon our children, we have an effect upon our grandchildren and generations that follow after them. Many of you are in the church today because I walk with God because your parents did. Or your grandparents did. And hopefully your children will too, as well as your grandchildren. But I suspect that Enoch walked with God didn't stop with his family. I would suspect that Enoch, his walk with God had an influence to all people around him. People that he worked with, people who was his neighbors, people who was acquaintance to him, and the extended family. That power and the influence and the shadow that we put out in the public falls on many people. And when you're a righteous man like Enoch and you walk with God, you are going to have a positive effect upon many people. Now, listen. Something about God's Word is that God, in just a verse, can give us something that opens up, and there is so much there. You know, you go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God had created the heavens and the earth. And just stop. Let's just stop and dwell on that for a while. Have you thought really what's involved in all that one verse? A lot of history there in that one verse. It's more than a lifetime can really deliver. But here, and talked about 300 years that he walked with God, his existence of 300 years after Methuselah. You know, with us, seemed like 65, 70, 80 years. It's a long time. It's a lifetime. Well, with Enoch, 300 years wasn't necessarily a long life compared to those of his ancestors. Some people have a difficulty following God just one day, or perhaps even less than that, just a few hours. Think of the ability to follow God perfectly, the best that you can, for a whole week, or month, a year. 300 years, he walked with God. That's powerful. In fact, we go over to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, there it brings Enoch's name up again. In that great chapter, The Hallmark of Faith, where it talks about great heroes of faith and things that they have done, Enoch does not go forgotten. It says, by faith. How does it come? By faith. Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh, here it is again. Not only did he walk with God, what a great compliment that God paid upon him and put it in forever in divine print in the scriptures. He walked with God, but he was so special it says that God took him. He didn't see death. You know, the only way that you and I are going to make our exit out of this world is the same way that the countless billions of people before us, and that is through death. Because of the sin that came in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, you and I continue to pay a price for that by the physical death. If the Lord does not come before we die, we will experience the pain of death. Enoch escaped that. He cheated death. We often talk, if we ever have our choice to leave this world, how is it? At the end of a football game? A victorious football game? Or would it be perhaps after a wonderful spring evening and there you just had a great time being with family? We often say, I don't want to be burned to death. I don't want to have a tragic automobile accident. I don't want to be burned up. You know, we talk about all the ways we don't want to die. We hear about those who die in their sleep. We say, okay, that's the way to go. That's the way I want to go. I don't know how Enoch actually left this world. He didn't die. It says he was there and all of a sudden, God took him. But we know he had a family. He had an exceptional family. You know, occasionally we find children who are missing. Even grown-ups. In the news this past week, saw someone on a road trip somewhere. They never made it to the destination. What happened to them? It's in the news. Anybody know anything about them? This is their description. This is what we're looking for. This is what they're driving. It makes you wonder, huh? And then somebody said, well, some alien took them out of the world. No, that's not what happened. They're somewhere. They may have fell misfortune at the hand of an evil person. But they're somewhere. Have you ever thought it was like when all of a sudden someone turned around and said, hey, have you seen Enoch lately? I haven't seen him. Saw him yesterday. Saw him early this morning. I can't find him now. And their family, were they concerned? Were the neighbors concerned? It's no mystery to us because we have the revealed text telling us what happened. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. He didn't experience death. Because God had taken him. For before he was taken, it had this testimony, this truth said about him, that he pleased God. Have we heard that phrase before? It pleased God? Remember when Jesus was baptized? God used the word that this is my son, who I'm pleased. Mount Transfiguration, God was pleased. Hear ye him? Enoch had that nature. What a drive. What a quest. I want to please God. Very noble. We can do that as well. Enoch pleased God. Some say, well, why did he do that? Was it because it was easy in his time to please God? In his day, was it easy to please God? Some say Enoch didn't have the pressures of living like we do today. Oh, really? Why did God send the flood if the person had a hard world to live in? You may say, well, Noah, he didn't have all the difficulties that we today. He didn't have all the temptations we have today. Oh, yeah? What about Eve? You know, you had the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride of life all played out in the Garden of Eden. He lived under that domain too. So don't think it was easy for him. Back in the book of Genesis, chapter 7 and verse 5, in regard to Noah, it says, then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That was a description of Enoch's day, of his culture, his world that he lived in. It could be described, evil continually. You say, no, that's not Enoch's day. That was later, back in Noah's day. I believe God knew what was coming. Scriptures show that. God was preparing for the flood. He had used Enoch as a way of preparing with Methuselah all the way to Noah. With Noah's teaching and upbringing. That's why he was one who could find grace in the eyes of the Lord. They lived in a culture. But just because you live in a culture that is wicked and corrupt, it doesn't mean that you can't live godly and teach your children right and for them to turn out right too. God sent the flood to cleanse a world that was completely wicked. And we are just like in the days of Noah. These were the days in which Enoch lived. He did not live in a vacuum only surrounded by Christians, as perhaps some say, well, we wish that we would. I wish we would too. I wish we lived in a world where everybody was honest and truthful and feared God and kept His commandments. But the truth is, we don't. I often thought what it would be like to live in a world where we don't have to have armies, where we don't have to have police. We don't have to have prisons. If we lived in a perfect world, we wouldn't need streetlights. I guess we'd all be standing there waiting for other people to go by first because we wouldn't let them have their way. It would be difficult, I suppose. But just think what the world would be like. if everybody was right. But we don't live in a world like that. But Enoch was a man who represented God in his life. The life of this man ought to make a good impression upon us. It's a source of encouragement to see us here we live today in the year 2020, in the 20th century, 21st century, that Enoch experienced the same temptations and trials which you and I meet all the time. When it comes to walking with God in this world, there were no easy times. When was an easy time? Was it easy in the times of David? No. Was it easy in the times of Daniel, the prophet? I mean, as in bondage and taken away, captivity? No. Was it easy of Jeremiah the prophet? No. Was it easy during the days of the apostles? The days of Jesus himself? And no, it wasn't. There's a universal principle expressed here in 1 John chapter 1. It says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Get that? In God there is no sin, there is no darkness. But he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, that is God, and we walk in darkness, there it is, that's the course that we pursue in life. That is not, we're not following after the God and the things of God, we're following after the ways of the world and what the world has to offer, sin and corruption, fulfillment of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. Then he says, we lie. We don't practice the truth. We can't say we have fellowship with God if we're following that course, if we're walking the ways of the world. But he said in verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another in the Son, blood of his Son, Jesus the Christ. It cleanseth us from all sin. How wonderful for that, for us to have forgiveness of our sins when we walk in that. Walk after him. Walk in his way. That's a special blessing that's given to us. If we walk after him, he can cleanse us from all sins. But here he makes the comparison. You either walk in the light or you walk in darkness. Walking is something they would say, I don't do. I don't care if you're in a wheelchair. I don't care if you're confined to a bed. You really, describing you, you have a walk about you. Not a physical walk, but the course that you are following as you journey through life. So we hear those who talk about the golden age of the past, how good life was back in the former days. All this talk about the good old days is nothing more, I guess, than nonsense. Because sometimes you talk about, yeah, they were good old days. And some said, no, I remember those days. They weren't that good. I mean, even talking about the Depression, people just called them the good old days. So in a way, we have a tendency to forget the bad things and look upon the good times. But I don't care who you look at in history. Trying to live the right life, trying to walk the right walk, it was difficult. It will always be difficult. In that first century, the Christian religion made its entrance in the world. Even though signs, wonders, and miracles were done, it was difficult. If we had lived in the first century, if it would have been just as hard to walk with God then as it is now. The New Testament bears witness that the early Christians had no easy time walking with God. If we cannot live a holy life now, what makes you, I mean, then back in the now, what makes you think we could if we went back in the first century? Enoch walked with God when civilization had just commenced, and that civilization was corrupt. I don't know all the roles that he played, but he was a husband, he was a father. He may not have been a perfect man, but he believed in God and he lived an upright life. And I'll translate that for you. What the scripture says, Enoch walked with God. No greater compliment can be paid. So let's give attention then to what the book of Genesis said and the book of Hebrews says about this man. Genesis chapter 5, it said, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, God took him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it said, for before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, what could be said about us? No, we're not dying today. We may not have lived 300 years after today, but going forward, we've got some existence, whether just a few days, few weeks, or a few years. Are we going to change our life to make sure that we're walking a kind of life that's going to be pleasing to God? Are we going to walk after Him? To walk with God means to live in a way well-pleasing to Him. To walk with God is to be in agreement with Him and to consider Him and what He said. In the book of Amos, chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" Oftentimes people say, will have some issues and problems in your life, and they'll say, well, someone will refer them to the Scriptures. Well, let's see what the Bible says. This is what the Word of God says. And so they turn the passage of the Scripture and read it. All right, thank you. I got that. And then they go do what they want to do rather than what God tells them to do to be acceptable to Him. Is that walking with God? No. When it comes to our conduct, our manner of life, is it walking with God? If we know what God's Word said, but He said, "I just can't do that. I just can't forgive my brother. I know what the Bible says, but are you really walking with God if you can't forgive when God said to forgive?" Or if you marry someone who is an adulteress, or you have adultery in your life, and you got a divorce and marry someone else, can you do that? Are you walking with God when you know what the Bible says and teaches, and you willfully go against that? What if you robbed and you stole something from somebody, and then you say, "Well, I'm going to be walking with God." Can you honestly keep what you took and you stole, embezzled? So it's mine, Lord. I'm going to keep it and walk with God. You know, on and on we can go and illustrate and illustrate and illustrate. But true walking with God is keeping and obeying God's Word in everything. It is being in agreement with Him. Not because I want to be right and God, please agree with me. No, I want to be right, God, and for me to be right, I got to agree with You. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? And the answer is no, you can't. If we walk with God, then we have to be in agreement with God. And sometimes that's tough. But that's what Jesus was talking about in the garden when He prayed, "Devil, this will, Father, not my will be done, but Thine will be done." It's not about me. It's about God. And we have to be pleasing to Him. And if we're not, judgment will be ours. So it is to conduct ourselves as being the continual inspection of His all-seeing eye. We talked about God sees everything. If I want to have communion with Him, I have to be in obedience to Him, make His Word my rule, and His glory our end in all of our actions and deeds. It should be my constant endeavor in everything to please Him and nothing to offend Him. That's what it means to walk with God as Enoch did in the very beginning. He walked with God for hundreds of years. A walk of over 300 years. Some cannot even walk with God a day today. So this message comes to us today that from Enoch, that if we walk with God as he did, God will have the same feelings about us that He would about him. That He'll be well pleased. That should be your goal. We should strive for that. We live in the Christian age of the world. For us to be pleasing to God, we have to keep God's commandments. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and I do the things that I say?" Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me." He is the way. If we don't come to Him, there is no other way. Do we really think about the choices that we make every day when we get up? We get our clothes on, we get dressed, we leave our house, get in our vehicles, go into the world. Every choice that we make is going to take us closer or further away from God. I hope that we would have the desire to always make the right choice. And we did that long ago when we became a Christian. When we heard the Word, we acknowledged it, gave serious thought to it, considered it. It's to be true, yes. I believe it. If you believe it, you believe in Him as God's Son, and you acknowledge Him, you repented of your sins, you confessed Him before assembly, you put Him on in baptism, and you keep and obey the Lord's commandments to death, and you walk with Him, let the New Testament be your guide, let it be the path to the steps that you take. And I don't mean just as you take one walk, one step. We take often one step during our lives, but sometimes by taking a step forward, we can take two steps backward. But to walk with God is to take a continual steps forward, closer and closer to Him. And in the end, heaven can be our home. We can be pleasing to Him. Have you begun to walk with God? You know, John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's a promise. God's part is that if we are obedient to Him, by His grace we can be saved, but the faith is our part. We got to demonstrate our faith by the obedience that we render to Him. You see what it said about Enoch in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. It was by faith that he walked with God. It can be said by so many individuals that I have known, I can say they walked by faith. The choices they made, the direction that they made in life, some difficult choices they made, some things they yielded to and they had to give up, it was done by faith. Just like Enoch. And so we should as well. We close our lessons with an invitation song. We have one verse that we want to sing. If we have anyone who's willing to respond, will you not come as we stand and sing this hymn?